For decades, the patriots of Eastern Europe fought against communism. Despite the threat of imprisonment and near total censorship, they continued to speak out. They called themselves dissidents. Ultimately, they prevailed against tremendous odds. Now, at long last, American patriots are speaking out against the forces that are destroying this country. This program is the voice of those patriots. This is American Dissident Voices. Your host is Kevin Alfred Strom.
Thank you, Richard Cotton. Today, we continue our series entitled The History and Significance of the New World Order. Today's program is part two in this series, written by researcher and writer Scott Spencer of Toronto, Ontario. Let's briefly review what we learned in the last program. Point one, beginning in the 18th century, there was a strong reaction to the old world order, which eventually became a revolutionary movement against it. This old world order was essentially the kingships and other institutions of the European establishment which had ruled since the fall of the Western Roman Empire in the 6th century. This revolutionary movement may be regarded as having good and bad aspects. Good aspects include the recognition of individual merit regardless of calcified class structures, and the awakening of national consciousness among the people. Bad aspects include the idea of universal human equality and the hatred of all that is superior. Point two. The American Revolution was an early and relatively benign manifestation of this revolutionary movement. Malevolence, destruction, and Jewish ascendancy came later, notably in the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, and the takeover of the United States by the New World Order in this century. Point three. This revolutionary movement was eventually infiltrated by Jews and ideologues who saw in popular discontent a means to power. Point four. The New World Order, nor even communism, were not even secondarily Russian phenomena. They are primarily Jewish in origin. Patriots who tell you otherwise are ill-informed or liars. Point five. The New World Order was not in any significant sense a British invention. Britain, in fact, has lost more than probably any other nation through her subservience to the New World Order. Patriots who tell you otherwise are ill-informed or liars. Today we will address what is perhaps the biggest lie of all on the God, country, and gold coin circuit. The lie that National Socialist Germany was a progenitor of today's New World Order. As we will see, nothing could be further from the truth. So we begin part two of The History and Significance of the New World Order by Scott Spencer. Hitler's New European Order. The Bolshevik Revolution resembled the French Revolution in certain respects. It differed primarily in the fact that the Jews did much more of their own dirty work in Russia and did not rely as heavily on Gentile stooges. Consequently, the outcome of the Bolshevik Revolution was all the more terrible. Bolshevism was viewed with great alarm by Russia's neighbor, Germany, which now found itself flanked on one side by the Soviet Union and on the other by Judeo-democratic France. In the economic ruin deliberately foisted upon Germany at the end of the First World War, Bolshevism was a serious menace. A Judeo-communist regime even seized power briefly in Bavaria shortly after the war. The liberal Weimar Constitution imposed on Germany after the war was written by Hugo Preuss, a Jew. The dominant political party of the Weimar period was the Social Democratic Party, which is to say the Marxist Revisionist Party, founded by Ferdinand LaSalle, also a Jew. The economic devastation of Germany under the Weimar government was near complete. The currency became worthless in a firestorm of inflation. Workers were paid with wheelbarrows full of money, twice a day at times, because the depreciation was so rapid that your money would lose half its value by nightfall. Eventually, billion mark postage stamps were printed and trillion mark banknotes, but all had the same ultimate value, zero. German workers and soldiers saw their savings and their future spiral into nothingness. German children starved while Jewish bankers and businessmen bought ancient German estates and valuable businesses for pocket change in foreign currency. The Weimar regime, like post-war America, was also a sink pit of degeneracy, corruption, and ugliness. Nihilistic creeds of self-destruction were made popular by the mostly Jewish-controlled magazines and newspapers. Drug use was introduced, and homosexuality suddenly became fashionable. The ugly cult of so-called modern art replaced the beautiful images of the pre-1918 period. Pornography of the grossest and most indecent kind was popularized. Marxism was preached from university lecterns and even many church pulpits. Sound familiar? This, then, was what it meant to implement the New World Order in Germany. What followed in Germany was a powerful reaction against the New World Order. But it was not merely a reaction, nor was it an impractical attempt to reinstate the old order, although it did preserve much of what was good about the old order. The old order had been based on absolute monarchy and Christianity, especially Catholicism, which supported the monarch's right to govern. Even in the anti-monarchical United States, Christian baptism remained a widespread qualification for holding public office until the middle of the 19th century. This reliance on religion alone as the official basis of society had made the old order vulnerable on two counts. First, there was the decline in the belief in Christianity, especially among the more educated Europeans, which induced some of the best minds of our race to become resentful of the old order. Secondly, and more importantly, the old order's basis in Christianity meant that any racial alien could become part of our nation simply by undergoing the ritual of baptism. For the Jews, this ritual was rendered meaningless by the Jewish Kol Nidre prayer, which is recited on the Jewish New Year and invalidates all oaths in advance. By participating in the charade of Christian baptism, the Jews were able to worm some of their people into positions of the greatest power over us. In opposition to the New World Order, Hitler erected his New Order of Europe. This new European order had some of the characteristics of the old order, in that it preserved the nation-state and traditional morality, and many of its trappings, such as the customary Roman salute. But it was different from the old order in that it was primarily based not on religion, but on race. With this innovation, there should be no more Bethmann Hollwigs, no more Dreyfuses, no more alien traitors holding positions of power. 200 years earlier, the word Christian, in the sense of the Christian peoples or Christendom, had been understood to mean white Europeans. Adolf Hitler recognized that this mere implication was not adequate for the preservation of white society, and so he made race an explicit rather than implicit basis of his society. A tremendous amount of malicious dishonesty has been directed against the memory of this incipient new European order. In particular, there has been an effort to manipulate Christians with the lie that Adolf Hitler was a scourge of Christianity. In fact, Adolf Hitler received a great deal of support from Christian clergymen, Catholic and Lutheran. Among the smaller sects, the Seventh-day Adventist and New Apostolic Churches were among the most ardent supporters of National Socialism long before the party actually came to power. It is a lie that Hitler was a member of the Thule Society. Such a society did exist, but Hitler regarded it as an embarrassment. You may read his opinion of freakish occult characters in the last chapter of Book 1 of Mein Kampf. He goes so far as to suggest that these people may have been sent out as agents, specifically to cause embarrassment. He calls them, quote, folkish wandering Jews, close quote. It is also a lie that Hitler took away the guns from the German people. The promoters of this falsehood usually make the insinuation by means of a verbal shell game, in which they distort the actual disarming of non-citizen, non-German Jewish deportees during the war into a fictitious disarming of the German people, an event which never took place under National Socialism. The National Socialists actually relaxed the gun laws in Germany. In fact, private ownership of guns persisted in Germany until the New World Order forces of the Allies rolled in and confiscated all guns, along with radios and other items, and converted Germany into a brainwashed province of the New World Order. This myth of Hitler the gun grabber has been promoted most vociferously by an organization calling itself Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. It should not be necessary to argue that Jews in general are a very biased source of information about Hitler. Hitler is accused of many things he did not do, but one thing he did do was to break the Jews' grip on Germany and restore Germany to the German people. This fact is reflected in his popularity. During most of his administration, Adolf Hitler was favorably regarded by more than 90% of the German people, a popularity which no American president has ever matched. Because Hitler put the interests of his own people first and freed them from the New World Order, world Jewry declared war on Germany in 1933 with an economic boycott and reviving essentially the same propaganda of barbarity that they had used against the Kaiser. With appropriate changes, the same kind of propaganda is used to rouse us against whoever the current enemy of the New World Order happens to be. By all means, let us continue to fight wars to make the world safe for democracy, so that we and the rest of the world may continue to be ruled by improvident fools like Woodrow Wilson and Bill Clinton, and by amoral swindlers like FDR and George Bush. That is what making the world safe for democracy really means. Heaven forbid that our people should ever have a strong leader who cares for our survival as a people, as Hitler cared for Germany. That would not suit the New World Order at all. And that is why the obsession with a democratic republic as a form of government is a grievous error in the American patriot movement. When the New World Order was implemented in Germany, it included the establishment of a republican constitution in place of the monarchy. Our political tradition in the U.S. and our public school education lead us automatically to regard this as progress. Really, we ought not to be so smug. According to Marxist theory, the democratic republic is a transitional stage between the old order and communism. It is the dispersion of power in a democratic republic that makes it so. No democratic republic has ever shown itself capable of the kind of decisive action which Philippe le Bel took against the Jews and the Knights Templar, expelling the former and crushing the latter. Those who make democracy their political ideal are, whether they realize it or not, by promoting this weak form of government, are helping the New World Order. Our main concern about government should not be whether it is a big government, but whether it is a government that serves us or serves our enemies. It is absurd, then, to moralize against Adolf Hitler for setting up a strong government to preserve his people from the New World Order. It is absurd to criticize him for not acting like a typical American conservative and for not using approaches that have always failed and have put us where we are today. Conservatives always compromise. They use half measures and try to be nice to everyone. It is to Hitler's credit that he saw clearly what had to be done and did it with very little compromise. Let us no longer make virtues of irresolution and weakness. Let us no longer moralize against success. All of those super patriots who sound like reruns of World War II propaganda, with all their flag waving and their knee-jerk tendency to link everything bad to Hitler, including, most ironically, the New World Order, they have built their house on quicksand. For it is the United States of America, since 1933, which has been the great enforcer of the New World Order. And it was Germany and her allies in World War II which defended our civilization against it. It is customary for patriotic commentators to wail endlessly about the threat of the New World Order taking over the United States. The fact is that the New World Order is not a future threat. It is here now. It rules now. The New World Order crowd, organized Jewry and its lackeys, has been at the levers of power in the United States during most of this century. They experienced a temporary setback in the 1920s during the Harding and Coolidge administrations, when popular sentiment recognized that the First World War had been a grievous error, and the immigration of previous years was stopped, and a number of Jewish subversives were even deported. But since the Great Depression swept into power Franklin Roosevelt and his retinue of Jews and communists, the New World Order has had uninterrupted control of the United States government. The McCarthy era marked the last important attempt to regain control of the United States government for the American people. McCarthyism failed because the full depth and racial nature of the problem were not recognized and faced in a forthright manner. Most of the patriotic efforts since McCarthy have been far more timid, far less inclined to call a spade, and as a consequence, have failed utterly. For telling the truth about Germany, World War II, and the New World Order, some of the coin salesmen will no doubt call me a Nazi. Let me say this. There has never been a government on planet Earth that could receive unqualified endorsement from me, or probably from any reasonable man. But learning from history is important, and it is interesting to study various regimes from as objective an outlook as possible. This becomes very difficult when a government or its leader or its people have become demonized or turned into a metaphor for evil. This demonization process is currently being used against Iraq, but in recent years it has also been used against Iran, Libya, and the Palestinians, among others. How can you discuss Iraq objectively when speaking to a group of morons wearing "I'd walk a mile to smoke a camel" picture of Arab on camel in gunsight t-shirts? Such individuals, many of whom probably could not locate Iraq on a map and were not even aware of that nation's existence prior to 1991, have allowed themselves to be whipped into a frenzy of hatred by mass media propaganda, which comes these days mainly from the appropriately named boob tube. Another heavily demonized regime is the old America, which I would define roughly as pre-1965 America or Euro-America. Exempt from demonization, of course, are New World Order change agents like the Marxist profligate Martin Luther King and the unspeakable Franklin Roosevelt, who were doing their best to destroy the old America and everything it stood for. They are not demonized, but are regarded as heroes, if not saints. Hardly a day goes by that the red networks or the lie papers don't torment us with a documentary proving the evil racism and oppression that was omnipresent in what anyone over 40 can remember was a much freer, safer, more cultured, prosperous, and optimistic America. The National Socialist regime in Germany between 1933 and 1945 has been demonized probably even more than the old America and has become a metaphor for evil used by almost all political factions in the insane asylum that still goes by the name United States of America. Thus, we have the loony CDR Morris D's left accusing militias of being dangerous Nazis, while some right-wing patriot groups accuse the Clintonistas and their enforcers of being Nazis, fascists, stormtroopers, etc. Nazi has become a word that one attaches to any form of government power or rebellion against government power that is thought to be illegitimate or that one disapproves of. For all practical purposes, the word has ceased to have any actual meaning at all. But like the word witch in the 16th century, the smear word Nazi still has the power to instill fear of ostracism or punishment. So cowards of many political stripes do all sorts of mental and verbal gymnastics to avoid the feared appellation. The really interesting thing to note is that National Socialist Germany is not demonized by the establishment for its possible faults, but rather for one of its virtues. After all, many regimes of today and yesterday have far less personal freedom than was allowed citizens there, far less press freedom, far more regimentation, far higher taxation, far more government regulation, far more hostility toward their own citizens, and all the rest of it. The real reason, and in fact the only reason National Socialist Germany is demonized, is the same reason that pre-1965 America is demonized. Both had governments which favored the survival of the white race. This is a crime that the New World Order cannot forgive. Read the book, Germany is Our Problem, by Jewish Treasury Secretary and New World Order operative Henry Morgenthau, Jr., and you will find in the introduction to this book, written during World War II, a clear statement that the war was between the, quote, United Nations, unquote, and the nations which opposed the United Nations. That exact terminology was used. And once you understand that, you will understand what I have been trying to tell you today. You have been listening to part two of Scott Spencer's The History and Significance of the New World Order. We will continue this series on my next program, in which we will look at the roots of the failure of the so-called Patriot Movement in the United States, and at the very beginnings of the New World Order which rules us today. This important series will also appear, as do most of our American Dissident Voices broadcasts, in our monthly illustrated newsletter, Free Speech. Free Speech is the monthly publication for supporters of this truth-telling radio program, and a 12-issue, one-year subscription is yours for a donation of only $40 or more. Free speech subscribers not only receive American Dissident Voices articles in permanent, illustrated, printed form every month, but they also receive substantial discounts on books, audio cassettes, and videotapes published by National Vanguard Books, discounts that are normally available only to book dealers. Most important of all, free speech subscribers have the satisfaction of knowing that they are doing something about the problems that beset our nation. Your subscription helps to purchase expensive radio time and sends our message of patriotic resistance to hundreds of thousands of listeners every week. A donation of $300 or more will place you on our list of defenders of the First Amendment, who receive, in addition to free speech, a weekly cassette recording of every American Dissident Voices broadcast, exactly as transmitted over our radio and satellite network. No one is doing what we are doing on the airwaves. Support our efforts and send $40 or more today to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Send $40 or more and ask for a subscription to Free Speech. International listeners may send an international postal money order or international reply coupons. Until next time, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you that free men are not equal.
You've been listening to American Dissident Voices,
a beacon of truth for patriotic Americans and for patriots of our Western civilization around the world.
American Dissident Voices depends upon the voluntary support of its listeners to stay on the air.
Please send the largest gift you can afford today.
Send $1 for our book and tape catalog listing over 300 titles that the control media don't want you to see.
Our overseas listeners can substitute two international reply coupons for the $1. For a gift of $12 or more, you can receive a high fidelity cassette recording of today's program.
Please give us the call letters of this station, the subject of the program, and today's date.
Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
That's National Vanguard Books, Department R, P.O. Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.
And until the next broadcast, this is Richard Cotton reminding you, as always, freedom is not free, free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America.